What's up, Reality Checkers, and welcome back to Reality Checkin'. This is episode 31. I'm Matthew Melendez. Of course, you're about to hear the beautiful voice of Michael Jenkins. Mike, how's it going today?
Oh, man, I am so pumped for so many reasons. I mean, there's so much to be excited about. We have a lot of great things going on, so, and we're back on a Monday. I mean, I only talked to you a couple days ago, so that quick turnaround always puts me in a good mood, sir.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was just like Thursday is when we last recorded, and now we're back at it on the Monday, about to get on our normal routine on Mondays again. But, I mean, a lot of things going on, like you said. I mean, I feel like you should be the one to say it because I know I see that big smile on your face. You've been getting excited all weekend, so go ahead. Let them know what's going down.
Well, Reality Checkers, the time has come. We have some fantastic, exciting news. Starting next Monday, we are airing live. You heard it, airing live exclusively on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. We are so excited to be joining their awesome staff and looking to build on our already great audience 2018. So, you know, it's been fun, Maddie, with us, you know, recording episodes, putting them up. But, you know, it's time for the big time. You and I going live starting Mondays exclusively on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. I know you're excited. Ooh. And fans, I hope you are too. I know it's going to be a change. But understand, after the growing pains, it's going to be so much better. I mean, Maddie, go ahead.
I mean, you know, going live is going to be pretty exciting and a little nervous at the same time. But, I mean, they'll get to hear the realness, you know, because, I mean, guys, if you only knew how many times we have to cut and take for Mike, you know, getting, you know, just simple words out.
Minnesotians.
The Minnesotians again. Exactly, you know. So now they get to hear the realness, you know, and they kind of, you know, no cutting, no editing, no, you know, adding audio, nothing, you know. So it's going to be real. So that's what I'm more excited about. So, guys, get ready for that. Big things are about to happen, and hopefully, you know, you guys listening now will be tuning into us live because we will be doing live shout-outs with Twitter, we'll be connecting on Facebook more, and we'll try to get as much interaction as possible with everybody. But even more exciting news, guys. I mean, I don't know for all you guys paying attention, but us Reality Checkers here, we are 5-1 in bold predictions for 2018. I mean, yeah, that deserves a few woo-woo. I mean, come on now. Like, the chances, we go from, like, barely getting any right to starting this year now just on a hot streak. I mean, I'll start it off. I'm going three-peated, and I went three straight. I've trusted the process. I picked the Philadelphia 76ers to beat the Spurs in San Antonio. They come out, and they did it for Daddy. And I don't know about you, Mike, but three straight, I'm about to go four this week. How does it feel to see me getting three straight?
Well, I mean, it is great. You did get three straight. I'll give you that, but I mean, this is supposed to be bold. You picked a Kawhi-less Spurs team to lose at home. You know, they score 78 points, and they lose by 20 to the Sixers. I'm happy for you. But, I mean, without Kawhi, you really look at the roster. It's one of the worst rosters in the NBA.
Oh, my.
The scorer is Bertrands. I mean, let's really be honest about that roster. Without Pop, we don't feel anything great about the Spurs. So I'm going to give you the win. You're three-peats there.
First of all, no.
The boldness is this lacking with this process.
I mean, the fact that, you know, Kawhi hasn't been there for how long, and they have the best record in the NBA at home. I mean, you can't excuse that. You can't. One player doesn't make a team. Am I right? It's a team sport, right?
I want to know how much money you gave Pop. And a shout out to Pop. Happy birthday, man. The best coach in the league. But after that game, you know what Pop said? If I was a San Antonio fan, I'd want my money back. That's how bad they played. You have some kind of guru magic going right now because you picked the Celtics to lose. They score under 90. I don't even remember I think they hit 80. Somehow you picked the Spurs now. They score 78 points in a league that's all about points now. I don't know what you've done, but you like wistfully like put some magic on them. Like it's like you're like the Monstars. You wouldn't grab their powers away from them. Like the day you pick them, the teams no longer have any ability. It's amazing. I don't know what you're doing, but keep it up.
I mean, all I know is that these fans that are listening right now, who I'm going with this coming up week, you guys better bet the house, or at least bet it even on both of us, because Mike, you got two straight finally. I mean, it's been a long, long, long time since you've got one right, but two back-to-back, oh my goodness. How does that feel, sir?
You living on this cloud nine and your nonsense about a long, long time. That is so outlandish there. And you know what? Just I won't mind the disrespect because my legit bold prediction of unranked North Carolina State going into Chapel Hill and beating number 10 North Carolina happened. I mean, what a crazy game. It wasn't an easy one to watch for me. Going into overtime, somehow the Wolfpack pull off the 95-91 win. And like you said, reality check is 5-1 on predictions in 2018, and we would be perfect if it wasn't for the Minneapolis miracle.
Wow, that's right. That was the Minnesotian episode, right?
Yeah, I had that game won if it wasn't for Stephon Diggs housing it for the win.
Wow, so we'd be 6-0 right now. That's right. That was the game that you picked. Oh man, that's scary to think how we're on fire right now.
I'm loving it. Keep it up, baby. I'm not gonna hate anymore. If we can keep winning, let's do it.
Should we just do a heat check this week and just do a ridiculous one? I mean, what do you think?
It sounds like you already know my pick. This thing is a heat check of all heat checks.
Oh man, well people, you're going to have to wait. Don't skip ahead because we got some solid bold predictions coming your way. But I don't know if you heard Tiger Woods played this weekend. I mean, oh my goodness. I don't know about you, but myself, I couldn't have been more excited. And I don't care what people say. Oh, it's not the same Tiger. Oh, you know, he's not. I don't care. Tiger is still Tiger. He is still one of the most most exciting golfers to watch. And to see him go out there and actually complete a round, I mean, speaks volumes. What do you have to say?
Well, I mean, yeah, no, it speaks so many volumes. This is the first tournament he's finished. And, play, like you said, the biggest thing you said there was Tiger played the weekend.
Yep.
You know, he made the cut and finished an entire tournament for the first time since 2015. Not only that, though, he shot a 3-under. He finished tied for 23rd on the tourney. And the most important thing after, he said he's pain-free. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. And everybody in golf, all the golfers, all the announcers, people who watch golf, say whatever you want about Tiger. He's done. He's this. He's that. But he not only moves the needle, Tiger is the needle. When Tiger's there, the money's there. When Tiger's there, the crowd's there. Tiger is golf, and whether he plays great or whether he's the worst golfer out there, that's who everybody wants to watch. Even the other golfers want to watch Tiger, whether good or bad. So this is amazing for golf. For you and I, we both love Tiger and his career, and we've been rooting for him for years now, and it's been, you know, we've been getting pretty desperate here for anything. But this looks like a guy that can build on stuff. More importantly, if you watched him at all, Tiger was terrible off the tee. Mm-hmm. If he can get his tee work down, I mean, his short game was – I loved his short game.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he missed some putts, but he looked great on the greens and around the greens. He was phenomenal. A lot that he can take from this tournament and be happy about. I mean, I'm literally, really looking forward and hoping that Tiger can put together not like a winning 28, but a competitive 28. You know, if he wins, I'm really happy, of course, and I'd love to see it. But I just want to see him competing week in and week out and getting in a lot of tournaments and just playing and being competitive.
No, I completely agree. And he's already looking like he's going to be competitive. The fact that he's pain-free after, you know, 4 days of golf and, you know, coming back from all his injuries that he's been dealing with, and especially the back. I mean, the back is a tough thing for golf. That is a big part of your body when you swing, you know. So for him to strike the ball that he was striking it when he was off the tee, you know, it looked good, but he was wild. Like you said, he couldn't really control his drive as much. He had a 30% fairway hitting this week. I mean, he only hit 17 fairways. I mean, the fact that he still finished in the top 23 and hit his lowest ever in a PGA tournament still, again, speaks volumes, because all it takes is just a little tweak here and there, and he's going to be hitting more fairways. And last thing these golfers need is Tiger on the fairway, because guess what? Like you said, his short game has improved, which has been historically bad. It looked really good this weekend, and to see that, all he needs is his drive back, get it in control, and wow, I mean, we might be able to see the old Tiger again. Yeah, you missed some putts. I think one of the funniest things, though, this weekend was the fact that one of the putts he missed was in his backswing. A guy yelled out, "Get it in the hole!" You know, and like, it just like totally threw him off a little bit. You can see because he looks into the stands like, "Really, dog? Like, I'm about to get ghetto on you real quick," you know, and it was hilarious. And I read an article, people were just like yelling at this dude, and the guy was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, "No, you ain't sorry. You know what you were doing. Like, you say get in the hole after he touches the ball, not in his backswing. Like, that is rule golf number one. You don't do that, or you don't say anything in the backswing." I mean, Last time I played with you, your backswing was just like 5 seconds, just slowly going up. So, I mean, I had a lot of time, but, you know, let's be honest, I feel like your drives are a little bit better than Tiger's right now.
That's about as embarrassing as it gets for Tiger Woods to hear that Michael Jenkins' drives are somehow better. Tiger, they're not, I promise you. I am terrible. I appreciate those kind words, even though it was a little backhanded at the beginning with the whole backswing. You finished on a high note. And I, you know, I want everyone remember this. The last thing golfers want is Tiger on the prowl on Sunday wearing red, because everybody gets the nerves and the yips except for Tiger. So I'm telling you, if Tiger starts to hone in, watch out, golf world. I would love to see it.
I mean, I don't know what's worse, Tiger wearing red on Sunday or Roger Federer in a finals. I mean, this guy in a finals, you just don't, it's just locked and loaded. Give it to him now. I mean, winning his 20th Grand Slam, I mean, wow, that's what a feat already he's had in his career. But he won at the Australian Open, looked really good too doing it. I mean, Roger Federer.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this guy is like a fine, fine wine. You know, he just continues to get better with age. At 30, it looked like we were starting to see the end of it, and he had some struggles. Now nearly 37, and he's back in his winning ways. Number 20 on his career for Grand Slams, making him the first male to ever win 20 Grand Slams, and only the fourth person ever. There's three women who have done it. But his latest win, let me break this down for you. With his latest win, Federer now has won 10% of all men's majors in the Open era. Roger has 10% of all major wins. That Open era started in 1968. That's 50 years. And you're talking about Roger Federer now owns 10% of all the majors ever won in men's Open era. So I just think that Roger's career is so special, and he's clearly the greatest tennis player we've ever seen from the men's side of things. And I think that, you know, right now we're in a sports era of a lot of debatable GOATs. You know, we talk about Brady, we talk about LeBron, Tiger, Federer. I mean, at this point, I think we got to start saying that Federer has to stand above all the rest at this point of those that we just mentioned. Like, he's clearly the GOAT.
No, no doubt about that. I mean, you can kind of give him that now. But, you know, the fact that Nadal only has 16 Grand Slams behind him, and, you know, Pete Sampras, who, you know, obviously is no longer playing, but, you know, he had 14. To see Roger still doing this right now at 36 years old and, you know, still looking good and healthy enough. Like, I understand he has some knee issues and he has, you know, little things here and there, but he's still playing strong and looking good doing it. And, you know, who knows? He could win. He could go on to win a few more. You know, so the fact that he, like you said, he is aging like a fine wine, you know. I mean, I'd like to see at this point who's going to win more, Tiger or Roger.
I think that's a wonderful question. Obviously, we'd have to lean on Roger, but Tiger's got the years an advantage because, you know, Roger doesn't get to age out the way that Tiger's going to get to with the golf. So it's a great question, but I'm interested to see.
Well, I got a good question for you. I think, are you ready to jump into Bay, Friend Zone, and Side Piece?
Oh, let's go, sir. Yes, sir, I am. Ooh, I got some excitement. I've been, you know, we always wait for this. This is the apex. This is the gold right here. This is what I always look forward to. Yeah, we love talking sports, but I'm talking about Bay all day, baby. That's what gets me hyped up in the morning. So, of course, I'm ready, sir. What do you got for me today? All right,
so it seems like lately we've been doing Hall of Famers, and, you know, let's just continue this type of trend. I got two legitimate Hall of Famers and one possible future Hall of Famer, depending on the injuries and all his career and how it goes. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so I have Tiger Woods, Roger Federer, and Joel Embiid.
Ooh, goodness. This is a star-studded cast. I mean, it's not the Case Keenum cast we had a couple weeks ago.
Don't hate on my Case Keenum and Nick Foles picks. Like, come on, man.
I love this one. This is great. Tiger, Fed, Embiid. All right, I'm going to go this way. First and foremost, Tiger, friend zone.
Whoa.
While I love his golf game, I love everything about it. That whole golf clubs and the ex-wife and the stories that leaked out after, we're going to have to be cool as friends, dude. I can't trust you.
Like, you'll go party with him, maybe.
Maybe party knowing that, hey, you know, there's nothing between us. It's just you and I, Tiger. We're boys. You can do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. But other than that, hey, I'll hit you up on the golf course. We'll have a beer together. Like, let's keep it cool. So for me, side piece. It's the hot young thing, baby. Joel Embiid. I'm in love with this kid's game. I really hope, like you said, if injuries aren't in the way, this is a Hall of Famer. He's going to be. His ceiling is through the roof. Him and Giannis have the highest ceiling of anybody in the NBA, and Joel Embiid is an absolute dog. I love everything about the fact that he wants to put buckets on dudes and he wants to get after it and embarrass you, and I love that. And the problem is I don't know what the injury is. So for that side piece, because I'm excited, but I don't want to get too hyped up and then get disappointed. So I'll get him in the side piece. It's good for a while. He's got to prove more to me. But like we already talked about, Roger Federer, Bay all day, 20 Grand Slam titles, a sweet, sweet man. He's still with his wife of many years now. There's so much to love about him. I'm watching him bawling after he wins his 20th. He doesn't even know what to say to people. He's just so sincere and sweet. The little Swiss charm he's got going on. So for me, Fed is Bay all day.
Jeez, man. You have like some legitimate, crazy, deep details on all these ones. I mean, wow. All right. I like this.
I love the segment. I love it.
Wow. I see that. I mean, now I kind of got a little pressure to meet that bar. So, all right. Let me see what I can do with this one. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to have to stay with you on the Tiger Woods friend zone. Exactly what you said. I mean, I'd be more than down to go to Vegas with him and have a few cocktails and, you know, maybe a cocktail wait. Never mind. And then, you know, just hang out, maybe go to Hooters, get some thighs and wings and, you know.
Describe time with Tiger. I get that.
You know, maybe you have a few rounds of golf with him. It'd be fun. You know, I'd love to hang out with the dude. And, you know, but, you know, again, you know, he can't keep it in the pants. So I'm going to have to say goodbye to him. And Federer, you know what? I'm going to have to put him in the punch me face zone. You know, I mean, yeah, you know what? He is a punch me face to
this
me.
This is outlandish.
When he smiles all smug, when he's like, yeah, he's not acting like it. But you can just read like, oh, I am the ish. And I just want to be like, hey, Federer, come here. Pop. And that little smile, that's a smirk. It's not even a smile. It's like a ha-ha-ha-ha, you know? So the only thing Swiss I like is cheese and chocolate. So you punch me face zone, Roger Federer, all day. I don't care what no one says. And Joel Embiid, you know what? Ah, oh, man, I'm going to have to keep him in the friend zone. I'm not having a bae today.
What kind of world are we living in?
I'm telling you, I know it. Joel Embiid, I feel like half the time he's talking, it just sounds like he has peanut butter in his mouth. And, you know, I know people might not like this, but it's facts, okay? I'm not going to keep things real, you know, or fake. I'm going to be real. It's reality checking, you know? And, yeah, he's the pretty hot young thing right now, and he won't have time for me. And I need time. So if I'm going to have time, it's going to be me by myself because I'll be single for the rest of my life with that cast.
Wow, that's aggressive. I mean, I can't believe no bae. I'm sad for you. I really am. I mean, I guess with between the thighs, the breasts, and the chicken wings and the cocktail waitresses with Tiger, you're going to be okay.
I mean, my time will be filled, no doubt about that. I mean, I'll be busy, but I just, you know, I won't have any bae to come home to. And, you know, maybe I'll give Ellen Nordigan a call, and maybe she's a little free right now because I know she's not with Tiger, so...
You gotta be careful around Tiger, those tight glutes, you know? Those tight glutes, they act up on them.
Oh, I'll let those act up all day. Oh, my goodness. All right, it's time to keep moving this forward. But, I mean, I got to talk about something right now that's close to my heart because this is a guy that I thought was going to be on the Lakers next year. DeMarcus Cousins going out with an injury, man. I mean, an Achilles out of all of that, you know, like... Oh, man, I mean, I went through it with Kobe Bryant. Now, you know, DeMarcus Cousins having to experience this. I mean, man, that just sucks. Poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel terrible for the Pelicans. I mean, they were actually starting to win games. They're at a winning record, and they look like they're making a playoff push. You know, him and Anthony Davis, obviously phenomenal, possibly like the two greatest bigs on a team together ever. And you watching them, they're finally starting to gel, and now – first game after, they lose him. They blow a 20-point lead to the Clippers and lose. And you're like, oh, the Pelicans are back. And this is the team that's going to go full tank here soon. And, I mean, obviously, losing Boogie is a loss for the entire NBA. You know, whether you like Boogie or not, watching him on the floor is amazing. What he can do is just phenomenal. What an elite player. Boogie is so phenomenal. I mean, who knows? This maybe has a bigger impact on New Orleans. This might end up getting Anthony Davis moved to another team, and they might finally say,
oh, wow. All right,
enough's enough. We got to do the rebuild. Anthony's going to be wasted here. We might as well get younger and get pieces in here to try to start moving forward. And so, I don't know. This could have a huge domino effect.
I mean, you would think that the best destination at this moment, if they were trying to build a future, is Cleveland with some sort, with them having that Brooklyn pick. You know, I feel like that would be the best option if they wanted something, you know, within the next couple years. But to trade AD, like, oh man, like, you wouldn't even think that would be ever an idea. But now the fact that you're just like, we tried this Boogie experiment, it didn't even look so well in the beginning this season, it showed promise, but they still were far away from competing against, you know, the Warriors, the Cavs, Celtics, you know, Rockets even nowadays. So I mean, you feel like they have been talking about this, trying to figure out, if we do trade Anthony Davis, what are we hoping for in return? I mean, what do you think it would take to, you know, get somebody away like that?
Oh man, I mean, I think they'd get an embarrassment of riches, honestly. I really do. I think they'd get, you're talking about minimum 2 first round picks, you know, elite picks, not like middling picks. I'm talking about, like, you know, like, that's why you said Cleveland's a good choice, because they have a top 3 protected pick. Cleveland would have to give up another first rounder. I mean, they'd have to offer off their entire bench. You'd probably have to move a lot. You'd have to give up those 2 pieces. You'd have to give up maybe Kevin Love, or maybe you give up Tristan Thompson and a lot of pieces. That's the thing. They're going to get a lot for Anthony Davis. And that's why I think that while Cleveland desperately could use Anthony Davis, maybe a team like Boston, who has younger pieces that they could give up less around, you know, like if they gave up Jaylen Brown, or if they gave up Jason Tatum and a couple first-round picks, then – New Orleans is like, hey, that sounds a lot better than, hey, Tristan Thompson, you know.
I think anything sounds better than Tristan Thompson.
I think we just have to realize that if Cleveland's moving Kevin Love, that they're really taking a big hit. And, you know, I know Kevin Love gets a lot of hate, but Kevin Love is still a very good player on a very good team. And I think that he's no easy guy to replace. And Cleveland's in search of answers. I don't think Anthony Davis is the guy for them. I think, like I talked about you off air, Avery Bradley is the guy. Now that Pistons are talking about, you know, now that the Pistons are in full tank because Van Gundy screws with the lineups every year and just finds a way to suck after being good. Sorry, Pistons fans. I know it's got to suck being a Pistons fan every year with the way things are going. But now they said Avery Bradley's available. If I'm Cleveland, I'm on the phone right now. What can I do? I'll give you Amon Shumpert. I'll give you Channing Frye's expiring contract. I won't give you my top 3 protected first round. But if you want the year after, I'll give you that first-round pick. We got a deal. Man. Guess what? Detroit's going to jump all over that if that gets offered. And Cleveland needs it. That's exactly what I've been saying. Cleveland plays no perimeter defense. You know who does? Avery Bradley. Oh, my gosh. Avery Bradley would fit that team phenomenally. He would give them defense, and he's a great shooter, exactly what LeBron needs. Cleveland, do what you got to do. Go get Avery Bradley.
Man, first of all, I think it's crazy that you would even mention that Avery Bradley would be a better replacement instead of Anthony Davis. That's just, you're just fantasy land. I mean, that's just, not picture a team of LeBron, Anthony Davis, you know, Thomas, you know, I mean, that's right there, those 3, and then, you know.
Anthony Davis going to go guard Steph? Because I don't know, who's going to guard Clay?
Well, you know, Steph's not going to take it in the paint. He's going to hit 33s. Cleveland
defensively this year, right? They're just guys standing around. I mean, Anthony Davis can try, but it'd be like Bynum back in the day with your Lakers when everybody sucked at defense and only had one good defender.
Bynum was a beast.
Who would just get pissed off all the time.
Bynum was a beast, though, man. That guy.
I always told you, Bynum with the Lakers was a beast. I mean, he was a bad person and made bad choices and ruined his own career. But Bynum with the Lakers was a beast. But when you had no defense, it was like watching Derek Fisher let the guard always come by. Here comes AD coming up out of position. Easy buckets right behind him. So I get it. Yeah, it sounds crazy. But for what Cleveland needs, they need more defense. They have offense. They need defense.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But, I mean, we're talking offense. Let's talk more offense. I mean, Celtics-Warriors, what a fun game to watch. I mean, Kyrie versus Steph, they had their 2 monster games facing each other. I mean, Warriors won 109-105. It just was a great game overall, back and forth. I mean, there was a couple times in the first half where, you know, the Celtics had a double-digit lead, you know, and then the Warriors being the Warriors, they did not let up. They came back, won the game. I mean, was that not a great game to watch?
That's the NBA needs more games like this. This is exactly what the NBA used to have when they used to have good teams come out and then show out for those games. I mean, this is, you had 2 elite point guards going at it. Steph Curry puts up 49 points, Kyrie 37. Steph had 13 over the last minute 40 to win that, lock this game up. Steph was out of his mind, hit 8 threes. Dude, Kyrie started the game 7-7 for 19 points. This game had all of the fun you wanted. It had ups and downs. And, yeah, the NBA needs so much more like this. This was a win for everybody, and this is why everyone almost wants the Celtics over Cleveland in the finals, because this is where you're like, oh, yeah, this is what we want to see. We want to see Steph and Kyrie. Let's build the rivalry already bigger than it was. I was in love with this game. I wish we could get more games like this, and the NBA truly needs it for ratings, too. You need big games to deliver.
Exactly. That was the fact that, this possibly could be a preview of the NBA Finals, was kind of nice, but I'm going to be honest. I still don't think Boston has enough. The fact that, Kyrie's doing this all with, almost nobody. I'm not going to say that, Brown and Tatum are nobody and, the other guys, Morris, that they got, are nobody. But he doesn't have guys like Kevin Durant. He doesn't have guys like Klay Thompson, Draymond. And the fact that he can go up against this superstar, this all-star type of cast team, and compete and almost win the game in their stadium. It's crazy to think, what was LeBron thinking wanting Kyrie gone? Look what Kyrie's doing right now in Boston. Imagine the things this year that he could have done with them to help him return to the finals.
Hey, let's get the facts straight, man. Kyrie wanted out, not LeBron wanting Kyrie out.
No, but you got to think, though, if LeBron wants something, he's going to get it. He's going to say, you're staying. I don't care what you say, you're staying here.
Kyrie's the first guy, I think, that finally was like, you know what? I don't want to be under your shadow. I want my own limelight. And while I hated the decision because I didn't want to lose Kyrie, the dude's phenomenal. I want to hate on the kid all I can, like LeBron. I want to be frustrated that he left, that there was more that they could have done together. But this is why he left. He wanted to be the guy, and right now it looks terrific. And like you said, I don't know that he gets past LeBron this year, but it should be fun. I really hope it delivers that way. I hope it comes down to LeBron, Kyrie, winner goes to the finals, because, man, wouldn't that be enjoyable just to watch those two, I don't want to be on your team anymore. Hey, let's see who's better head-to-head now.
It definitely would be fun to watch, but, I'm going to be real right here, and I think that it's going to be Toronto that goes into the finals out of the East. crazy, go ahead, laugh it out right now, but just wait for it, Cleveland's situation is only going to get worse. They're looking like they might be able to turn things around. Of course, they got LeBron. But, I still think people need to stop trying to overlook Toronto. I feel like they might do enough to be able to make some noise. Because, again, Celtics, I'm not too worried about them. They don't have that crazy powerhouse team to have enough to win Game 7, to go deep. I don't feel like they have enough.
This is why Toronto can't win. This is why. Drake.
Don't hate on Drizzy.
Drake can't get on the floor and ball up. Was he going to rap LeBron to sleep? Come on. Toronto is Toronto. Dwayne Casey in Toronto, the same issue. It's like saying the Wizards are somehow going to put it together in the playoffs. Bradley Beal and John Wall are going to be fun to watch, and they're going to lose a big series. That's Toronto. Same thing. Come on. They're done. They're not going to win. I think it's cute that you say...
We don't even know if LeBron's going to even be with the Cavs going in to the Eastern Conference Finals. For all we know, he might be traded by the deadline,
We can revisit. I like your chances a lot better then.
Who knows? Maybe he might suffer a season-ending injury. We just don't know this.
You know what? You're getting close to getting 5 to the face today, man. That's already you're spreading misinformation about LeBron getting rid of Kyrie. Now you're talking about him getting injured. come on, man. We already lost Boogie. The NBA fans need somebody, okay? Don't take LeBron on top of that.
If it happened, I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'll sit here and say I told you so. Yeah. But you just never know, all right? But all I know is that we're about to get this moving, and we're about to play one of the funnest games that we've ever played on this show, and it's Would You Rather.
Yes, I am ready. We need some change of mood in here. You've brought some saltiness to me, and I'm trying to stay zen-like in 2018. It seems like you're always trying to push the salt out of me, man.
Just don't be mad, though, when LeBron gets hurt. That's good. Don't put that on me either.
What would you rather time?
Would you?
Would I rather punch Matt or not punch Matt? It's punch time.
All right, let's get this started. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I got a fun one. I'll go first. I think you've been going first, so I'm going to jump the gun and take first here. And I have an interesting one, and it's going to be hard for you to pick. So that's why I'm excited.
All right, let's hear it.
So, sir, would you rather have Tiger Woods or Roger Federer's career?
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh, man, they both have their own individual skills that they need, not a team sport. Wow, this is a good one. I like this one a lot. I'm going with Tiger, unfortunately. You know, Tiger, goodness sakes, I mean, at a young age that he came into the league and was just so dominant as a player, and the thing that he did for golf, I mean, we know, what the golfers before him did, and the history that was made, but Tiger has took golf to a whole new level that nobody ever thought was possible. I mean, golf went from this boring sport that nobody ever really watched to one of the top watched sports when he was playing on a Sunday. I mean, again, like we mentioned before, there were times when we were at an Angels baseball game and we went to go watch the TV Tiger playing because it was the final round. People would leave their seats, and you remember those bars, how crazy packed they were. It's like, no one's watching the Angels game that we came here to pay tickets for, but yet we're here and in the bar area to watch the TV because of Tiger, So, I mean, Tiger has done a lot. I mean, financially wise, I can only imagine the numbers compared to Federer, not to, put anything wrong against Federer and his earnings, but Tiger, the fact that he can win $13 million for just 4 days of golf, plus his endorsements. I mean, goodness sakes, I'm taking Tiger all day.
I knew you'd pick Tiger, and that's why I thought this would be a fun one. Who wouldn't want Tiger's career? Absolutely. I'll say that first and foremost. But that being said, clearly Roger Federer is the career I'd rather have. I think, he's the first ever to win 20, and Tiger's still chasing somebody. He hasn't topped the mountaintop, if we're being honest there. Yes, he had probably the most dominant stretch of anybody in golf history, but he's still number two. He is not number one. Roger Federer, 20 career slams. He's at the top. Not only that, the longevity of it all. We just talked about it. Roger's nearly 37, doing things that are so rarely seen in sports. And for me, I got to take Roger. I just think he's the better guy as a person. And his career speaks for itself, and he's on top of the mountain. So to me, Roger Federer's career is clearly the choice here.
As a person, now you're just going too far. We're talking careers, okay?
Okay.
Now take that off the record.
It's fine. I take it back off. Mark that, jury. Listen, yeah. Take that off the record. Roger Federer's career speaks for itself, and I don't need him to be a better person to say that he had a better career. And I'm really interested to see what the fans say about this, because I think you've got a lot of Tiger lovers there, and I think that Fed's undeniably great. So I don't know whose loyalty is going to go where.
I agree with the whole fact that, Tiger's still chasing somebody. But, I mean, at the same time, we got to think about it. Roger, in the female world, has somebody ahead of him. So, I mean, it's a female. Never mind, I'm not going there. But anyhow, I might have to agree with you at the end of things. But I still, Tiger, man, that's my bae. I love Tiger, I mean, I know I didn't choose him in the bae zone.
Friend zone.
He's my friend zone, I know. But, I mean, he still has... He has a place in my heart as if he were a bae, okay? Before all that scandal came out, this dude was bae all day. I mean, we would always try to golf like him, play like him. We'd all try to, we'd go to the golf course and Tiger, we'd try to do things, So it's just unfortunate. But, I got a better one for you, and I got a battle of the Jose's. That's what I'm going to call this. Of the Jose's, just to kind of let you know what I'm about to get into.
Okay.
And I'm going baseball on this one. So, here we go. Ninth inning, two outs, bases loaded. Bottom of the ninth. Who would you rather have at bat, Jose Ramirez or Jose Altuve?
Wow. Gosh. That is a fun question. Jose Ramirez, who I love, J-Ram. But, I mean... Jose Altuve, you're talking about MVP, you're talking about elite hitter, you're talking about J-Ram, I love you, I love the Cleveland crowd, no disrespect here, but come on, you guys got to agree, it's got to be Jose Altuve. I really just think he said little 5 foot guy, you know, just rakes all day. I don't know where he generates that power. It's really, truly amazing.
Right.
I'm taking Altuve. Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I hope I never hear about it, but it's been so fun to watch him. I got to take Jose Altuve. He's just such a pure hitter.
Man, see, I'm gonna have to go against you on this one. I know Altuve is a pretty good hitter, you know, don't get me wrong, but I feel like Jose Ramirez, with that switch hitting ability that he has, you know, they have to be the one who, should we change our throw pitcher? Should we, you know, leave the same pitcher in? So he has that advantage, and he is a really dominant hitter still. I mean, he's going to continue always to be a dominant hitter. He's shown to be good. He's still good, you know, and I don't know what it is. I typically don't side with Cleveland anything. So for me to go with Jose Ramirez on this one, I mean, it was kind of a stretch. It's kind of, you know, it's hard for me to do this. But I don't know. I feel like Jose Ramirez would give the team a better option to be able to score that game-winning run. So, I mean, Altuve.
I mean, not that pick, though. I mean, we got a lot of clutch moments for J-Ram. So I'm... You know, I call him J-Ram. That's my boy. So it was hard to pick against him. You know, that dude... be a fantasy title this year. I can't be mad at him. I had both of them. I had both on my squad. That's what I did. I was Jose'd up.
You were Jose'd up. I mean, I think this will be another good poll to run, kind of see what people say. You know, we know that we have a big Cleveland following.
I'm pretty sure we know who's going to win this poll.
But, I mean, I would be surprised, truthfully, if I see Altuve take this one, which, you know, he should win because, you know, stats-wise, he's been a dominant hitter for the past 2 to 3 years. And, you know, he's always in the top three, top four of the, you know, batting average. But Jose Ramirez, you know, I mean, let's show me some love. I don't ask for that often, but, you know, I feel like I'm asking for it. Let's get this. Come on, guys.
We'll see, man. Good luck.
But, I mean, I got something else to say, and I think this might be the last time we can say it, but the Super Bowl is this weekend.
Oh, yeah, you are right. Next week, you can't say that. Yeah, you got to play by the rules and the guidelines of it all, and you have to say the big game. But, can talk Super Bowl and say Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl,
Super Bowl. Super Bowl. It's like saying bomb on an airplane, you know. It's kind of one of those bomb, 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 bomb.
What are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Super Bowl time. I mean,
Eagles, Patriots, the ever crafty Nick Foles versus the GOAT, Tom Brady. I know neither one of us have been that excited about this matchup just because, A, we don't want the Patriots there, and B, Nick Foles is playing quarterback in the Super Bowl. What world are we living in? You know, but we got to talk about it. You got to talk about the Super Bowl. And, you know, Brady and Belichick going for number 6, but they're 8th that they're attending. This game, I think the big key is going to have to come down to Fletcher Cox and that defense have to make Tom Brady remember he's about to be 40. You got to pressure him. You got to put him into the ground. You got to put him in pain early, and he can't get comfy. Because, you know, once Brady gets comfy in that pocket against any team, it's lights out. You're in trouble. If he gets comfy, Eagles are in for a long day. That defense has to be so active and put a ton of pressure on the line all day long. It's an uphill battle, honestly. What can you say bad about the Patriots? They get the job done. I hate saying that, but they do every game.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, Philadelphia, because they're just on a high note right now. And, you know, you kind of want to think that they're going to take this energy, this, you know, this excitement that they're playing with right now into the Super Bowl and make a big, big noise. You know, I mean, I said it, you know, the last Patriots game, you know, hey, defense, somebody go out there, just take Gronk out of the knees. They went for his head. They gave him a concussion, you know. So this game, going to the Super Bowl, Eagles, throw someone in there, take Brady's knee out. If you go for the head, go for the head, whatever, but take him out. I'm not going to cry if he gets out for the game, he has a concussion. But I mean, let's be honest, this guy can be on one leg and Brady could probably still win the game. I mean, this guy is poised to win another championship, and I hate the fact that that's going to happen, but I mean, anything can happen. I feel like I think the most thing that is going to be fun to watch is LeGarrette Blount going against his old team. You know, I mean, he won the Super Bowl with them last year. Now he has a chance to beat his old team and win a Super Bowl to kind of say, suck it, guys. And I think that would be the most fun thing to see is his reaction and kind of how things happen if that goes down.
No, I think what would be more fun is going back to your comment about Tom missing the game. I'd rather see Nick Foles versus Brian Hoyer in the Super Bowl. A Hoyer-Foles-led team. What world are we living in?
Oh, man. I mean, hey, let's be honest. That would actually be kind of fun to see. I mean, you know, it'd be like a very boring offensive game.
Dink and dunk.
Dink and dunk. But, I mean, honestly, it's going to be a fun Super Bowl. I mean, no matter how a lot of people are upset on this one. I know a lot of people have been saying they're not going to watch it, that they hope it's going to be one of the lowest rating. I mean, Philadelphia has been one of the best teams in the NFL all year long. So, I mean, if you're really hating that the best team on one division going out against Tom Brady, like, you can't, hey, I understand it's Nick Foles, you know, but still, overall, they've been the best team. They've looked really good. The running game has been solid. The passing game has been good, even since Nick Foles has taken over. Their defense has been very dominant and present, so we're going to have a good game here. I feel like the Patriots are going to win it. That's my pick for this Super Bowl. I feel like Tom Brady and Belichick are going to just have enough to come out of that experience and say, hey, you know what? We have been down 21-3, so we came back to win that game. This year, it's no big thing. We're going to win again, and they're going to celebrate and throw another one in Goodell's face.
Wow, I hate the sound of that, and it makes me sick. And I think that this is exactly why we have to jump into bold prediction right now, because, sir, I'm doing a big Hail Mary, and I'm taking my shot, and I'm saying Eagles and Nick Foles.
What? No, you're kidding.
Tommy Boy and the Patriots, and Nick Foles joins the illustrious group of one with Eli Manning as quarterbacks who beaten Tom in the Super Bowl. Eagles, baby. Wow. Taking out the Patriots. I'm calling it now.
Should we cut and edit this? Because, you know, next week we're on live. We can't, you know, redo. Are you really going with the Eagles?
I'm all in. I told you. Talked about heat checks. We've been on fire as a team this year. I'm riding it. This is a heat check of all heat checks. Brady goes down. Eagles win. Riding that defense. And Nick Foles maybe even hits a late game winner on him.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, yeah, you got two straight. You know, I mean, this is could be your third straight and join the illustrious, whatever words you use, club of Mateo being for the first three-peat. So, I mean, you're going bold on this one. I was expecting you to go cute and soft and pink butterflies and
maybe
choosing a
Kawhi-less Spurs game, I should pick.
Whatever. But I got a good one for you. Since you're going to go nice, solid, and bold, I mean, now I feel like my pick isn't as bold. But, I mean, well, no matter who I pick, you're going to call me out and try to say, oh, that's not bold. That's blah, blah, blah. So
let's see.
You ready to hear what I got for you today?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll hate it.
And I'm going to have to, no. I'm going to go on with my trend that I usually do, and I'm going to pick a team that I know you're going to have to help me root for. So I'm going that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to beat the Houston Rockets.
I am sick and tired of having you pick teams. You do this on purpose. You pick teams that I have to root for you for. Really? That's what you're going to do? You know I need Cleveland to play better, and now you're going to pick them?
You're going to pick the Rockets? You know, and there's not really too many good choices this coming up week for bold picks. I mean, you know, I feel like this one would have been the best one with the fact that Houston has one of the best offenses out there, and Cleveland has, like, the worst defense in the league. You know, I mean, I feel like LeBron in a primetime game is going to have to step it up, put up 50-plus points, you know, and I think this might be the game where they bounce back and say, all right, it's time to turn the season around. So, Mike, you're going to be rooting for me to go four straight this week, baby.
I'm sick to my stomach that I have to root for you, and I am. Of course I'm rooting for you. Let's go Cavaliers, but gosh, this is... You're frustrating. I'm supposed to be allowed to root against you, and you purposely defeat that when you go and pick teams I'm going to root for.
Well, I mean, I hope the Cleveland fans that are listening to me right now are loving me for once, because typically I hate Cleveland. Cleveland sucks. They're never going to do anything again after this year, baseball-wise, basketball-wise. So, I mean, they have a lot to hate me for. But now I'm on your team. I chose Jose Ramirez. I'm choosing LeBron in Cleveland right now. I mean, what else can they ask for?
They have to be thrown off. They have to be like, wait, that's not Michael, that's Matthew?
Damn saying.
It's like reverse day.
It almost is. It's like Fantasyland Friday right now. I mean, we're just throwing everybody off. But
hey, I love it.
I feel like this is going to be it for them. I think it's a bold enough, you know, but we'll see what somebody says. I'm sure someone's going to cry and complain. But, I mean, hey, at the end of the day, I still love Tim Tebow.
Hey, Tebow, baby, the streak goes on. How is it happening? The greatest streak of 2018.
Oh, my gosh.
Alive and well. Thank you, Thank you for Tim Tebow. I gotta say, that is amazing.
But you gotta look at it. Every time that I've said Tim Tebow, my bold prediction has been right. So it might be something new that I might be on, you know? Let's
ride the wave, dude. I'm not even mad at you. Just ride it out. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, I think we went pretty bold for our last episode before going live. And you guys, like we talked about, starting Monday, don't forget we are going live on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. That's right. The show is now airing live, 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. Figure out the other destination time. Central, 11:30 East Coast. I'll help you out. I'm just messing. We love you all. But please join in. We're going to be posting all of this through Twitter and Facebook and keeping you guys up to date to let you know when and how you can check it out. And we'll have all the details for you. We're really excited to grow with all of you this year and years to come. Maddie, I mean, send them out.
Man, that's going to be it. He said enough. I was a mouthful of words, and I try to do the math of time, central zones, and blah, blah, blah. But nope, I'm going to leave it at that. You did enough. So that's going to be it, guys. I'm Matthew Melendez. That's Michael Jenkins. This is Reality Checking, and y'all just got Reality Checks.